You are Locked On Phillies, your daily Philadelphia Phillies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, guys? It is Tuesday, March 31st, 2020. This is Locked On Phillies. I'm Tim Kelly. Today's show is brought to you in part by Withings. Do you hate stepping on the scale? Maybe it's just because you haven't met the right one yet. A company called Withings produced the world's first smart scale, and they are still the best. In fact, Tom's Guide rated Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale for 2020. If you were looking to lose weight, having willpower is key, but so is having the right tools on your side. Withings smart scales are known for their durability and their exceptional user-friendly design. You step on the scale and data from every weigh-in syncs automatically to the free app for iOS and Android via Wi-Fi or Bluetooth. Lots of smart scales don't have the Wi-Fi option. It means you need to have your phone on you to be able to get results. But Withings Body Plus gives weight, full body composition, weight trend, and even a local weather report. The scale can support up to 8 users and even know who is who. So here's the deal. You can get 25% off a Withings Body Plus right now at withings.com for a very limited time. Go to withings.com, withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. That's withings.com/MLB to get 25% off Body Plus Body Composition Scale. So I've saved this topic for a while now because there were other things, and frankly, I was hoping it would fade away. But it increasingly feels like baseball is seriously considering expanding the amount of teams in the playoffs. The current CBA expires after the 2021 season, so in theory, that would go into effect if they pushed it through in 2022. However, we could see kind of a trial run of it as soon as this year, potentially, because Friday, Radio.com MLB insider John Heyman said that while nothing is close to final and anything's on the table, it's possible that baseball will expand the postseason this year. They would go from the current format where 10 teams get in. You have each division team and then 2 wild card winners. You go from that format, which is a 10-team playoff, to a 14-team playoff, potentially in 2020. And that would mean 7 teams from both the National League and the American League would make the playoffs. Nearly half of the teams playing essentially would make the playoffs. It would have much more of a feel like the NBA or the NHL than what baseball has traditionally been. And in February, Joel Sherman in the New York Post reported that baseball was considering moving to this 14-team format in 2022. And the proposal that he put out, and Joel Sherman's a great reporter, I do think baseball kind of purposely put this out there to test the waters, it got panned. It had a first-round bye for the top seed in each league. The number 2 seed in both the American League and National League would get to pick what wildcard team they got to host in the first round of the postseason. To put it nicely, the idea was trashed by most. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't hate at all the idea of the televised show where the number 2 seed gets to pick which of the 3 wildcard teams they'd face. To me, that's a very interesting concept and something that would create bulletin board material and drama, and baseball needs that. But I don't like the format and the way that they're ultimately getting to it through this type of proposal. And as John Heyman put it, a shortened season, one that probably won't create the best situation for finding what teams actually deserve to reach the playoffs, that may make some more open to the idea of at least trying the expanded postseason format for a year. Because if baseball has an 81-game regular season or a 100-game regular season, you could just say, well, whatever team wins the most games, they deserve to go to the playoffs, and that's how it is. You could also say, there's just not enough time to realistically find this, and a really good team shouldn't be nixed from the playoffs because they have a bad 2 or 3 week stretch. And I really feel like baseball might lean into that because their thinking would be, if more fans like the additional format in this type of season, it makes it easier for them to potentially push an expanded format on a full-time basis. And, you know, I would say there's certain fans, and I'm not sure I wouldn't even be in this, that would be intrigued by this format in a shortened season just because the regular season is going to be such a sprint, especially if it's less than 100 games, where it almost doesn't feel fair just picking playoff teams off that. So you put in a bunch of teams. I wouldn't hate that idea in an 81-game season. In an 162-game season, I'm not sure I like it as much, and I'll get into that more in a minute. But I'll be honest, I wasn't a fan when they added the second wild card in 2012. I liked that prior to that from 95 to 2011, only four teams got to make the playoffs. You had the three division winners, East, Central, and West, and then whatever the top team was from the remaining divisions that didn't win one of them, it made reaching the playoffs feel really special. Now we have to go through this charade in the final few weeks of the season with teams like the Phillies over the last 2 years where we say, oh, well, the Phillies just lost 9 of 12, but they still only have four. There's still only four games out of the wild card, the second wild card spot. I mean, how many times did I say that in a show last year? Like, we knew, I had a pretty good idea on that series in Atlanta on 4th of July weekend last year that Phillies weren't going to the playoffs. But in the middle of September, I still had to trot out here and say, hey, guys, there's 15 games left, and I know this season feels bleak, and the owner's traveling with the team, essentially deciding the future of the manager, but they could still make the playoffs, technically. I don't like that. And I know the idea of most teams being in it until the final days of the season, it sounds great, but in actuality, it keeps teams that are mediocre or only slightly above average in the postseason race longer than they should be, and that's held especially true in the NL. However, as much as I don't like the second wild card, I love the actual wild card game itself. And maybe that doesn't make sense to people. I think it makes perfect sense. I don't like how you get there. I do like the actual game itself because I think it's a great way to start the postseason. And the winner-go-home format creates this feeling that you don't normally have at any other point in the baseball season. But two wild cards is really where I feel like baseball has to draw the line to keep the regular season from feeling insignificant. And a lot of people feel that there's stretches of the regular season that are already insignificant in an 162-game season. If you keep an 162-game format, or even if you go to 145, whatever, I know they've talked about different proposals of changing the length of the season slightly. If you keep that and add more teams into the playoffs, I mean, you're getting to a point where it's like college basketball where people just say, well, I'll tune in for the playoffs because those will be great maybe, but this regular season, what's even the point? Everyone's getting in. That sounds awful to me. I would rather have one too few teams in the playoffs. Maybe there's a team in the playoffs that should be in the playoffs maybe and would in a normal year that just misses out because they're in a division with two other really good teams or whatever the case is. I'd rather have that than have teams sneaking into the playoffs that aren't playoff teams. And, I mean, you don't have to go far back. Last year, the Mets would have made the playoffs with 86 wins. The Mets season felt like a disaster last year. Their bullpen was one of the biggest dumpster fires I've seen in a long time, and they fired their manager who was him and Jason Vargas were almost trying to fight a pitcher in the middle of the season. That wasn't a playoff or a beat reporter. That wasn't a playoff team. And then you have the Diamondbacks who, good for them, they held on and won 85 games last year. Prior to the season, they traded Paul Goldschmidt. In the season, they traded their best player, Zach Greinke, at the trade deadline. They would have been the second wild card team, or I guess the third wild card team, under this format. I mean, sure, there are times like last year where the Indians won 93 games and they kind of got screwed out of missing the playoffs, but I'd rather that happen once in a while than consistently have teams that win 84, 85, 86 games. I mean, you win 84, 85 games, like you had a season, depending on what expectations you entered the season with, you did have a season where you feel like this could be successful by certain standards and we have something to build off. But, I mean, if you win 84, 85 games, you're not a playoff team. That doesn't mean you're a bad team, but you're a third-place team, and that doesn't belong in the playoffs, in my opinion. So I do think you could make a case that in a shortened season, it would be interesting to try this format. But I'm afraid trying this format now, especially if it feels more fair in an 81 or an 100-game season than it normally would, I'm afraid it would be a precursor to having two additional playoff teams in each league every year, and I'm not about that. So yesterday was the one-year anniversary of Bryce Harper's first home run as a Philly. And look, the 2019 season was the most disappointing season, or one of the most disappointing seasons in the history of the Phillies. I put that out as like a note, an afterthought, really, on a tweet. And Twitter, a few people on Twitter went and saying, oh, you know, you're forgetting 1964. Dude, like, I know history. How many people, especially people on Twitter and the internet, were alive and like functioning during the 1964 Phillies season? Like, let's join reality here. But anyway, the 2019 season was extremely disappointing. And you can't say, though, that it didn't start in an incredible fashion that made the disappointment that much more excruciating as the season went on. Because after the Phillies blew out the Braves on opening day, they overcame a pretty rough start from Nick Pivetta, which unfortunately for them last season became par for the course, to win their second game and start 2-0. JT Realmuto hit his first home run as a Philly, which a lot of people forget. And they forget it because once the game was kind of already in hand, Bryce Harper launched a titanic 465-foot home run. I mean, Mike Schmidt, it's a good call. Whether you like Mike Schmidt as an announcer, don't, whatever. Mike Schmidt is like, oh, I'd be letting it go here on a fastball. And he gets a pitch, and he absolutely hammers it into a part of right center field that, I mean, I know Barry Bonds hit a home run there once, but people do not typically hit home runs out at this part of the stadium. Bryce Harper absolutely murdered it, and Citizens Bank Park exploded. And I'll tell you, that first series against the Braves last year, it really felt like 2010 or 2011 at Citizens Bank Park. And I know people romanticize that whole era, but 2010 and 2011 was when, probably 2009 to an extent, was when it was literally selling out every night. It was the place to be. You had people, and some people didn't like this, but it became the place to be because you had people that couldn't care less about sports that wanted to just be part of the conversation and were like, we got to get down to Citizens Bank Park tonight, or else it's like, if there's a conversation about Tiger King or whatever show on Netflix and you haven't seen it, you feel like you're out of the loop because everyone's talking about it. And in this case, in 2010, 2011, the Phillies had had a sustained run of a few years. They had added on to their core with Cliff Lee and Roy Halladay and Roy Oswalt and Hunter Pence, and you felt like you needed to be down there or you'd just be completely lost out of the conversation. And for the first few weeks of the season last year, first few days certainly of the season last year, people were that type of excited about the Phillies again, and they delivered early on. Andrew McCutchen hit a home run in the first Phillies at-bat of the season and his first at-bat with the Phillies. Rhys Hoskins hit a grand slam on opening day. JT Realmuto and Bryce Harper each hit long home runs in their second game as Phillies. It was an incredible series. And then in the third game of the series, which was 1 year ago today, the Phillies were on Sunday Night Baseball, and it was kind of a bitter, nasty night at the park. It was cold. But they won 5-1, and Bryce Harper hit a towering home run over the right field wall. The Phillies swept the Braves, and it felt like they had not only reclaimed the NL East from the Braves, but maybe were a legitimate threat in the National League as a whole. And that, of course, it didn't prove to be indicative of what was to come. But that first weekend at Citizens Bank Park, it was still a pretty special weekend of the park. And right now, the idea of baseball, even if it was from the Phillies of the 2010s, which was not exactly the most impressive era of the team, it sounds pretty great compared to what we have now. That's going to do it for today's show. You can follow me on Twitter at Tim Kelly Sports. Read my work on Phillies Nation and Radio.com. Now, tell your smart speaker to play the latest episode of Locked On MLB. I'll talk to you guys next time.